Well, come on in. We're glad to see you out tonight. Thank you for coming. And we continue on in our doctrine words that pertain to the grace of God. And tonight we're talking about this important word, regeneration. And before we get into our study, let's pray. Father, thank you for your people who've come out tonight. We pray that your Spirit will move here this evening and that we would understand things about this great doctrine. We pray your blessing on our time. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most amazing words of grace is regeneration. And if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have experienced it, although you certainly, and I certainly was not aware of what was taking place there. 43 years ago, day before yesterday, 1976, was June 10, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, invited him into my life. I didn't know anything about the ramifications of that. I knew something happened. Didn't know exactly what. And part of the thing that happened there is I became a brand new creation in the mind and in the sight of God, and I was regenerated by God. And we said that this word regeneration has to do with the fact that you are brand new. You're born again. You actually become a new creation. We're not just referring here to a restorative makeover. We're talking here about an actual moment when a person is completely brand new in a new life existence in their relationship with God. And that is exactly what regeneration is. In fact, the meaning of the word is to give birth to a new life. Now, Peter, who is an apostle, uses this theological concept of regeneration, as does the Apostle Paul. He spoke of the regeneration as an important part of salvation grace, but the apostle that really emphasizes this particular word the most is the Apostle John. And it's clear from the writings of the Apostle John that he develops this regeneration idea, and he got it from Jesus Christ. You'll remember that the Apostle John was a very close disciple, the beloved disciple of the Lord. And John uses this word quite a bit. And obviously, he got this directly from the doctoral studies that he listened to that were given to him by the Lord. So I want you to open to John 1 because we want to see some things about this topic of regeneration that are certainly critical. You'll notice in John chapter 1, let's start at verse 12, but I want to key on verse 13. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, received Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born, and there's our idea, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who have believed on Jesus Christ have actually been born of the will of God. Now we certainly, again, had no sense of that when we trusted the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, there was an amazing sovereign work of God that was taking place in every single one of our lives and causing us to have this brand new birth. Then if you go to John 3:3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says in John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He won't see it. He's not going to go into it. He's not even going to see it. In other words, unless there's a new birth moment where a person has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to enter the kingdom. They're not even going to see the kingdom of God. And so I think that's critical. Now in John 3:3-5, notice in verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John stresses the importance of a Spirit-produced, born-again reality that is authorized by the will of God. That's what born again means. Now, the idea there of being born of water and the Spirit, I think the water refers to the flesh birth, when a woman's water breaks before she gives physical birth, because the whole discussion is an analogy, a physical birth versus a spiritual birth. And so he's basically saying there has to be a moment where the Spirit of God convicted one of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and caused that one to be born again. And that's what the Lord is talking about. Now let's go over to 1 John, if you would, please. 1 John. You'll notice in 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. So John speaks of practicing a righteousness that's established by grace age teaching as establishing one is born of God. Now, we're talking about not the traditions and righteousness of men or the legalism or rules of men. We're talking here about one who's practicing the righteousness of God. Now, you'll notice in 1 John 3:9, no one who's born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he's born of God. John speaks there of the impossibility of one born of God being continually in sin. Now, that is not just talking about a person who's out sinning. That's talking about a born-again status where it is impossible for one who's been born of God to have a continual sin classification. God can't do that. He won't do it because he's given this person a new status, a new life. Then if you go to 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So John speaks here of loving fellow believers as an indicator that one, in fact, has been born of God. I mean, once one is born again, there is a connection to others born again. It just exists. I just remember when I trusted the Lord, I still remember this. No ministers there, nobody's around me. God saves me. And then I just had this desire to go to church. I mean, nobody told me this. Nobody's hawking this. Nobody's telling me you should do this. I mean, there was just this desire. Well, where does that come from? It comes from the fact that we've been born of God. So that desire to go to church and fellowship with the people of God and hear the Word of God is something that is absolutely evidence that one has been born of God, because this is something that God does. Now, the other text I want you to look at is 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. So John says, whoever believes in Christ, that he is the God, Savior, Messiah, King, is born of God. Is born of God. Someone who actually believes that Jesus is the God, Savior, Messiah, King is born of God, because people that aren't born of God don't believe that. And they certainly don't believe that about the Lord Jesus Christ. The eighth reference, 1 John 5:1, John says, whoever has believed is born of God and overcomes the world. You'll notice in 1 John 5:5. The one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 4, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So the overcomer is one who's been born of God, and that's the one who's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 John 5:18, he recaps this by saying, we know that no one who's born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now, we're talking here about not continually in a sin state. So one who's been born of God cannot continually be in a sin state. He's kept out of the evil one's sphere because he's been born of God. So what regeneration actually is it is the moment one is born again, and the moment when God gives a person a brand new life, this person becomes a brand new creation and is made spiritually alive, having been spiritually dead. One theologian gave a simple definition. I've kind of paraphrased it a little bit, but he said, regeneration may be understood as the work of God in which he gives spiritual life to one spiritually dead. This is a brand new life. This is a miracle. This is a supernatural miracle in which God actually gives life to one who was dead. Floyd Barakman said, regeneration is the act of God whereby he cleanses gospel believers of the defilement of sin, renews their personhoods and the immaterial parts of their human natures, and imparts to them spiritual life. Now, I want to make some observations about regeneration because it's such an important doctrine. Number one, and this is so critical, regeneration takes place because of the will of God and not because of the will of man. Now, we already saw the text in John 1:13, but I want you to go to James 1. James 1, just back up left a few pages from 1 John to James chapter 1. And notice verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures in the exercise of his will. So the credit for any person actually being born again must go to the will of God, not the will of man. And unfortunately, people don't study these doctrines, and when you listen to a lot of people talk, it's all about them and their will and their choice and the things that they made. When in all reality, the more we understand this, the mysteries of this, the more we understand the sovereign work of the Lord in His will causing us to be born again. I mean, we just didn't get up and that just happened by chance. That was God who worked in your life, that was God that worked in my life, and caused us to come to understand our need for Jesus Christ. That's the work of God. The vast majority of people don't understand this. They don't get it. That's why Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to salvation, and few there be who find it." Now the second observation is regeneration takes place because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now that's what you get in John chapter 3 and verse 5. We saw that. It's the Holy Spirit that actually causes one to be born again. He does that convicting work. He brings that person to realize the need to believe in Jesus Christ. And sometimes when you listen to people talk about, well, how did you come to Christ? When did you come to Christ? You'll hear different things. Sometimes they'll say, well, I was overwhelmed with the fact that I was a sinner. Some people will say, I didn't want to go to hell, and so I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say there was something lacking. I knew I needed something in my life. That's all the work of the Spirit of God. There's no real rote formula that you can give to everybody. You just know that the Spirit of God's the one who works in people's minds and brings them to their need or their realization of a need for Jesus Christ. Now the third observation is regeneration is produced through a presentation of God's Word. You'll notice in James 1:18, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. Now go over to 1 Peter, a couple pages to 1 Peter, chapter 1, and verse 23. We read, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God." Now that right there shows us the importance of accurately, at church, communicating the Word of God. That shows you the importance. It's the Word of God that the Spirit of God uses to cause people to be born again. Over these years, as we're in this 19th year here, we've seen all kinds of people who trust the Lord. Right in a service. I mean, Sunday morning service. We'll be interviewing people for membership. When did you trust the Lord? Like the Gliddens, 2 years ago, sitting here in a Sunday morning service. I mean, you hear testimonies of this. Well, it's the Word of God that's being presented that the Holy Spirit uses to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. I think one of the most amazing stories, and I miss this guy. I miss old Bob Wyndon. I just think a lot about him from time to time. And my mind reflects back to that service where he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He's sitting right over there, and we're in a study of the book of Esther. It was a series that we had done. The reason he had actually come to church was because Deb was playing the piano, and he was coming to actually hear her play. And we're in a text in Esther. And the text in Esther that we were in was not even a passage that I would say was a real strong evangelistic part of the book. There are some interesting pictures that I would say, now there, I can see that passage right there as being one that God would use to save somebody. Well, Bob said, as he sat there in this very chapel, he said, I sat there and he said, I'm thinking, that's speaking to me. That's speaking to me. And he trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. We all experienced his growth as he grew in the Lord and just loved the Word of God. He just came to life. It's just amazing the power of the Word of God. I used to, sometimes I'd be talking with him about this, and he'd be reminding me of this. And I said, you know, Bob, I actually went back and looked up that exposition. I can't for the life of me figure out anything in the exposition that would lend itself to you being saved other than God. That's it. God used His Word to save Bob. That's what He does. He's in the business of causing people to be born again through an accurate communication of the Word of God. So that's the job of the church, to accurately proclaim the Word of God. Now the fourth observation is regeneration occurs At the moment a person believes in Jesus Christ. At the moment a person believes in Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to the Gospel of John in chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. Now let's back up to John 1, 12 to 13. John 1, 12 to 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You are born again, you are regenerated the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are some theologians who say that regeneration is a pre-salvational grace work in which God converts the sinner's heart. And the argument is that sinful man is depraved and sinful man is incapable of choosing God or seeking God in salvation. So the conclusion is that God must create a new life before one even believes. But it would certainly appear from Scripture that regeneration occurs the moment a person partakes of the life and blood of Christ through faith in Christ. I mean, that's what John 6:53 says, that you have to partake of the life and blood of Jesus Christ. So you have to ask yourself, well, when is the moment that a person partakes of that? Well, the moment they partake of that is the moment they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the issue of when a person is born again is the issue of being born again at the moment the person believes on the Lord. Now there are some pictures of regeneration that we want to talk about tonight. Three pictures in the Bible that are used to kind of give us an understanding of regeneration. The first picture is regeneration is presented in the context of a new birth. Of a new birth. Now let's go to John chapter 3. And we'll go back to this context that we looked at. And you'll see clearly Jesus is presenting a comparative analogy between a physical birth and spiritual birth. You have to see that because that's crystal clear. In John 3:3 we read, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Now it's clear that the comparison is being made here between a real physical birth and a real spiritual birth. One birth is a flesh birth, and the other birth is a Spirit of God birth. So Nicodemus, who's a very religious man, is talking to the Lord Jesus, and he's telling him, you have to be born again. Nicodemus immediately goes to physical birth. Well, I can't enter into my mother's womb again, which is why I think the water issue has to do with a woman's water breaking before a physical birth of a baby. I think that is exactly the context of what is being stated here. Now, some have said it refers to John's baptism and Jesus saying you had to be baptized by John and then receive the Spirit of God. I don't think that's it at all. The context is pretty clear. There's a comparison between a flesh birth and a spiritual birth. And Jesus says, look, you have to have this born-again birth. You have to have this new birth. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. So just because you are a religious guy who's been born, you need to be born again. So it's given in the context of a new birth. Now, the second picture of regeneration is in the context of a spiritual resurrection. Actually, from the dead. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read in verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now there's the description of the status before we're born again. We're dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive, God being rich in mercy because of His great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and has raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this imagery of being born again is having a spiritual resurrection, and it's one of, here's one who was previously dead, and now they're alive. It's like they've been raised up into a new life, and we have been raised up into a new life. In fact, Paul even takes it further. Not only have you been raised up in a newness of life, but you actually, in the mind of God, are already seated with Christ in the heavenlies because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So being born again is a spiritual resurrection from death to life. The third picture of being born again is regeneration is presented in the context of a new creation. A new creation. As long as you are open to Ephesians, before we go back to 2 Corinthians, look at verse 24 of Ephesians 4. And put on the new self, Ephesians 4:24, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put on the new self. So you're viewed as a new creation, a brand new creation. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, just left a few pages in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you'll notice in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how do we get in Christ, by the way? Spirit what? Baptism. Spirit baptism puts us into Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. You are a brand new creature, a brand new creation. So regeneration is the work of God in which He gives a person brand new life, the one who is spiritually dead. That's what regeneration is. As the Word of God is presented, the Holy Spirit, in perfect conformity to the will of God, with those names that have been written in that Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world, that Spirit of God does a creative work where He actually gives life to dead sinners. That's what He does. And that's what regeneration is. It's God imparting new life to dead sinners according to His will in using the Spirit of God to do the work. As Dr. Wolbert said, regeneration meets the need created by the presence of spiritual death. There is no visible method or process discernible. By its nature, it is supernatural, and therefore its explanation is beyond human understanding. The important fact, never to be forgotten in the doctrine of regeneration, is that the believer in Christ has received eternal life. This is the very heart of salvation. He goes on to say, regeneration reaches the essential problem of absence of eternal life without which no soul can spend eternity in the presence of God. Regeneration supplies this lack of eternal life. It is a smashing blow to all philosophies which hold that man has inherent capabilities of saving himself. Regeneration is wholly of God. No possible human effort, however noble, can supply eternal life. The proper doctrine of regeneration gives to God all the glory and power due His name, and at the same time, it displays His abundant provision for a race dead in sin. Regeneration may be understood as the work of God in which He gives a brand new, created, spiritual life to a person who is spiritually dead. And once God has given this new life to one who's spiritually dead, that person is guaranteed everlasting life. And regeneration, this whole business, is not something felt. It's a fact. It's not something felt. It's a fact, which should lead to producing fruit. I mean, that's what passages say in view of the fact that you've been regenerated. There should be this pursuit of fruitfulness that we are pursuing in light of the Scriptures. Now, again, I go back to this that happened to me, 43 years ago. The moment I invited Christ into my life, I knew something was different. That's all I knew. And the first thing that I knew was different is this overwhelming sense I had of sin. To the point that I literally was on my knees, nobody's around here, I'm on my knees in my living room weeping over sin. I knew something happened. I did not understand all of the marvelous theological ramifications of what was going on that night in my life, nor did you understand it when it was going on in your life. You had no clue that God had His hand on you, what He was doing here. But the fact of the matter is, it was God who made a decision that that Holy Spirit, in a perfect accordance with His will, track you down and bring you under conviction some way, shape, or form, where you sense the need to either believe in the Lord, invite Him into your life, not go to hell. I don't know what the specifics were of your case, but I do know that one who believes in the Lord and invites the Lord into the life or places faith in Christ, that is completely a work of God, an amazing work of God, in which He takes one dead in sin and makes him alive, gives them a brand new created status that guarantees them everlasting life. Now, our time is pretty much gone. There are two theological areas that we need to discuss in regard to this. And that is, how does regeneration connect to saving faith? And how does regeneration relate to personal experience? And we'll pick that up, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. Any questions or comments from what we've studied tonight? Thanks for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.